Scripture reading today comes to us from the book of Mark, chapter 12, verse 28 through 34. Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." So the scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth, for there is one God, and there is no other but he. And to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." Now when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." But after that, no one dared question him.
You know, we live in a society that appreciates the bottom line of things. And of course, when I say the bottom line, what I'm referring to is maybe the final cost of something that we need or something that we want. And this cost, it may come in the form of dollar bills, it may come in the form of time, and it may come in the form of effort. It usually refers to what is the very least that someone will take, or the very least that we will pay to get whatever it is we want in life. And you know, this kind of thinking is usually good, and it's usually reasonable because we're dealing with material things in life. And to think this way, though, in our service to God as Christians, this is not the best way to look at how we deal with our spiritual lives. When you look at our Christianity, many people look at our Christianity in this way: what is the very least that I can do to satisfy God? How much do I really have to put in to my Christianity and still be okay with God? And you'd be surprised how many Christians literally take this approach to their Christianity. How little can I do? How little can I give? Can I get by with just a small token of what I do for my God? Here's the problem with that line of thought. When we look for what I would call the bottom line of salvation, when we look at what we need to do in life to receive salvation from God, if we take it from the thought of how little can I get away with, then I want to suggest to you this morning, my friends, that you will never be able to afford your salvation. If you look at it from the standpoint of how little can I do, how little can I give, how little effort do I put forth, you're never going to be able to please God and receive your salvation. Now, what I want to do today, using our text as a basis, I want us to take a look at the bottom line of Christianity and what it means to us when it comes to serving God. And I want to talk about two things. I want to talk about the bottom line of our Christianity when it comes to obedience. And I want to talk about the bottom line of our Christianity when it comes to forgiveness. First of all, let's look at the bottom line of obedience. Now, this question is coming from a scribe who, in all likelihood, is a Pharisee. Now, as we read in verse 28 of the text that Billy just read for us, This scribe was obviously very impressed by what he had heard Jesus in answering the Sadducees in earlier passage. And it may be that he wasn't trying necessarily to trap Jesus with this question that he was asking here. But it may be that he was simply looking for a satisfying answer. So what he did, he asked to learn what was the foremost and greatest commandment of the law that one can obey and still be pleasing to God. Now, it may be that he asked this question because, in all probability, the topic of the law, the topic of the temple, and the topic of Israel's favored position in the religious world at that time were the three great planks of Judaism. Those were the three greatest things that the Jews probably thought about. But Jesus' answer, it came interesting when it come to obedience. Jesus began with what was the first and foremost of importance. Hear, O Israel. In other words, listen. The Lord our God is one Lord. Now what Jesus has done here, he's actually quoted from the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. And it is a statement for the Jews, and it is considered to be the most basic of all of God's commandments. And this is talking about faith. Now, if our faith is real, if our faith is perfect, if our faith is unconditional, and if our faith is independent, that we know who God is, that we know His existence, we need to understand that love has got to be the first and foremost greatest thing that we give to God. So Jesus began here, this is where service to God begins, with our faith. Acceptable service can only begin with our faith. Now the second part is talking about giving God all of ourselves. In other words, one must love God with the inner being, with our heart, with our soul, and with our mind. And he continues to say that the bottom line in obedience to God also includes the physical parts of our strength, all of our abilities, all of our might is all part of giving God the very best. So it's a combination. The bottom line for our obedience to God is with all of our faculties in life, spiritual, mental, and physical. God has to be first in all ways. So we begin to see why when one looks at the Bible to see the least that he can do to be saved, he's never going to find salvation. Because God does not accept the least that we can give him. Now, the second part of this command was, of course, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, this part of the commandment actually comes from the Old Testament again, from Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18, which is actually a part of the Levitical law. Now, this law is given because if we love God, we are naturally going to have to love those who are made in God's image. Is there anyone in this room who is not made in the image of God? We are all made in the image of God. And if we are going to love God with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind, then we are naturally going to have to love those who are made in His image. This command is so vital. Because it is the simple foundation for our love and our faith in God Almighty. Now, Paul references this in Romans chapter 13, verses 9 and 10. He says, "And if there is any other commandment, all are summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." He goes on to say in verse 10, "Love does not harm a neighbor." Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Just as Jesus said, this fulfills the law and the prophets. There is nothing greater that we can do than total obedience. And there is nothing less that God will expect from us other than total obedience. And that is to love God with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and to love one another as ourselves. That is God's bottom line in obedience. Now, the other thing I want to talk about is God's bottom line for forgiveness. Now, the context of this discussion actually comes from something that Peter asked of Jesus in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 21. He said, then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Now, when you think about that, this is a reasonable question. You know, there is usually a limit to everything we do in life. There are things that we accept over and over and over. And finally, there comes a breaking point where we normally don't accept anything after that, right? When we reach that breaking point, that's it. So what Peter is asking here, where is the breaking point? Peter is looking for a logical number here, a number from Jesus. Now, you know, this probably isn't the first time that this has been brought up. And we know it was brought up among the rabbis under the old law as to how many times that we are to forgive. Now, their recommendation was three times. It's also interesting to note that not only did Peter ask the question, Peter also suggested the answer. How many times do we forgive him, Lord? Up to seven times? Now, Peter here, in his own mind, is being very, very generous. Because no doubt he knows what the rabbis have said when they said three times. So he is doubling that plus one. And he is offering to forgive man seven times. Isn't that interesting? It also may be that Jesus, or rather that Peter chose this number, because the number seven associates itself with being complete. Seven being complete. So seven times would, in Peter's mind, definitely take care of the duty of the man who is going to have to forgive someone. Now, before we dismiss this answer, and I'm going to dismiss this answer, let's take a reality check of it. How many of us in this room have had to forgive our brethren seven times for something that they did? I dare say that it's been done. Now, you know, beyond our immediate family, I dare say that very few of us have ever had to forgive anyone seven times. Now, of course, there are exceptions to this rule. There are always exceptions to any rule, but they are exceptions. Listen to Jesus' answer about bottom line forgiveness. He said, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Now, if we have any math people in here, we know automatically that this is 490 times. Jesus is telling Peter, you forgive a man 490 times. Anybody ever done that? I don't think that's what he's saying at all. I think what Jesus is trying to make clear here is that God's bottom line for forgiveness has no end. God's bottom line for forgiveness and for God's line of grace to us is unlimited. And because God will forgive us an unlimited amount of times, we are expected to offer forgiveness also for an unlimited amount of times. Now, for some, this is hard to accept. You know, Jesus ran up on several occasions to where his disciples stopped walking with them because his words got difficult. And we find an example of this in John chapter 6 when he finished his teachings on that occasion. Many people walked away and ceased following Jesus because the things that he was saying to them was difficult. Well, don't kid yourselves. This is one of those difficult statements. We are commanded, it is demanded of us that we be unlimited in our forgiveness to others. There are many people today who literally stop walking with Jesus because they do not want to forgive. Oh, they may go through the motions of worship, and they may go through the motions of letting people think that they're Christ-like in their lives, but in reality, they have stopped walking with Jesus because they have refused to forgive. And this, of course, this happens because wrongs have been committed that have cut deeply. And it's hard to overcome this emotional pain and the suffering that comes from someone doing you wrong. And it may be that our pride gets in the way, and we demanding our rights get in the way, and forgiveness becomes a scarce commodity among many Christians today because of that. As I said, it's hard for some people to accept. But that doesn't change the law. And that doesn't change the fact that God still demands and commands complete obedience, of which this is one of them. In fact, Jesus provided an illustration of this situation to help us understand the seriousness of this. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 23 beginning. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. Now, in this story, the king has decided to make some things right. He wants to settle some of the accounts with some of his subjects. The first one that was brought in, 10,000 talents. Now, a talent was the highest unit of currency of the day. It was actually a weight, a measurement, if you will. And this slave owed the king 10,000 talents. Mathematically speaking, it would be equal to about 6 million days of work in that day and time. If you put a true figure to it, this slave actually owed a quadrillion dollar amount. That is a one with 15 zeros behind it. That's a lot. Needless to say, it is an amount that would be impossible to be paid. Realizing the helplessness and the hopeless condition that he was in, he humbled himself, falling to the ground, pleading for time to repay, which he knew he would never be able to do. Friends, when we stand before God in humility and we plead and we beg that our sins be forgiven, this is a debt that we cannot pay. Only God can release us from that debt. just as only the king could release this man of the debt that he could not pay. Now, this story goes on. Verse 28, we find the second slave coming to him. This slave owed him money as well. The servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. Now, this is one slave dealing with another slave. And he laid his hands on him and took him by the throat and saying, "Pay me what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, "Have patience with me and I will pay you all." But the first slave would not, but went and threw him in prison until he should pay his debt. Now here's this first slave now who has been forgiven a debt of 10,000 talents, 6 million days wages, $15 quadrillion. And he will not forgive this second man of a tiny, insignificant amount. He refused to release him from his debt. Instead, he threw him in prison until the payment was made. Now, watch what happens. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all of your debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?" And his master was very angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. Now the king heard this and was very upset with the first slave. This is the same slave that he had forgiven this humongous debt to. And now this first slave has refused to forgive the second slave a tiny, insignificant amount of money that was owed him. And the king delivered him to jail. He is now going to carry the weight of 10,000 talents all over again. Now here is the reality of this story. You and I are the first slave. We are the ones whose sins have caused us to owe a debt that we cannot pay. We are the very ones that Jesus Christ went to the cross for, gave his life for, to release us from a debt that we cannot pay. And the very thought of us failing to forgive a fellow slave, a Christian whose debt is small, smaller than anything that God had forgiven us for, what a ludicrous thought. And here's the bottom line. God will not have it. He will not accept you who will not forgive in his kingdom. It's as simple as that. And the bottom line is, the rest of this story comes from verse 35. "So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses." God doesn't care about your pride. God doesn't care about the fact that you was hurt because of what this person did to you. The fact of the matter is, you are not acting like one of God's children. You are refusing to forgive, and you will be departed from God on judgment day because of it. That's exactly what this verse is saying. Like it or not, accept it or not, this is the way it's going to be. God's bottom line of forgiveness is unlimited. And God's commandment for us and our bottom line for forgiveness is unlimited. And if we refuse to forgive, God will refuse to forgive us. Isn't that sad? So, the bottom line, whether it be forgiveness or obedience, if we look for that bottom line, if we look for the very least that we can do to satisfy God, and if we look at our Christianity that way, we will never be able to pay that debt. The bottom line for the Christian concerning obedience is to give him our all, our complete dedication, our complete obedience, accepting his will completely. And you know that shouldn't surprise us, because that is exactly what Jesus did for us. 1 John 1 and verse 16. By this verse, we know love because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That, my friends, is the bottom line. That, my friends, is the very least that God will accept from you. So today, if you're not a Christian, the bottom line is obey him. And if you are a Christian who will not forgive, or if you are a Christian with other sins in your life, the bottom line is confess it, ask God for forgiveness. He will forgive. This morning, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come as we sing this song.